What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing a wild night one of the NFL draft. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing, man? It's the day after the first day of the draft. I know it was a long night for some of us, so it's good to be on. And Rexo, man, God bless you for getting in there.
Yeah, it was Nick Suss and I were the last to leave. Man, sometimes I just write so slow. It's pathetic.
And he's on the air this morning at 6 a.m. Just a legend, this Joe Rexro.
Yeah, writing those novels, man.
That's right. So, TD, we will get to the Skoronski pick here in just a second. But I am just curious for your thoughts on, obviously, there was a lot of noise yesterday about the Titans and C.J. Stroud and potentially moving up to number three with Arizona. And then we saw what Houston did, picking Stroud at two and then moving back up to three to get to Will Anderson. What do you make of, the way that all played out, and how real do you think the interest was from the Titans standpoint in C.J. Stroud?
You know, man, there was a lot of noise this whole offseason. Coming from the Titans. So it's just more of the same that we've seen. But I'm pretty sure that Stroud was the guy that they wanted, and that if he was there, they probably would have made the move. I'll say this. I know he's the guy that they were interested in. Now, I kind of jumped ahead of myself saying they probably would have made the move. I don't know for sure, but it's crazy. It was like the movie Draft Day. You know, some of the trades that you saw, especially from the Texans' perspective, coming back up to three and getting Will Anderson. You don't see teams usually do that, you know, make a jump like that to get someone other than a quarterback. So Will Anderson is a player they must really, really like, but they came away in really good shape out of first round.
Yeah, TD, I mean, just on Stroud, I mean, credit to you, because you and Indy, I believe, were the first person to, you know, report that there was interest. So do you feel like, now looking back on all of it, that it was kind of him all along, or do you think there were ebbs and flows with that and other quarterbacks?
I think it was him all along, to be honest with you, and they just kind of kicked the tires on the other guys, not Bryce Young, who they felt wasn't going to be able to be drafted, you know. So I think all along it was him. I mean, they had a shot at Levis, right, at 11. And then if Richardson was the guy, they could have moved up to get him, you know. So, I know Houston ended up trading for the number three pick, but they could have done it, right, to get Richardson. So I definitely think Stroud was the guy all along.
Okay, so now Levis is sitting there still, which, I know we had a lot of fun last night in the media room talking Will Levis, mm-hmm. as you know, TD. Mostly Karski and I yelling at each other just because I like interesting stories. But he's sitting there, which I don't know how surprised you are, but I'm very surprised he didn't go anywhere in the first round. Hendon Hooker's sitting there. Titans have 41. Do you think there's any chance that one of them could be a Titan? Do you think that should be a consideration right now?
I think you got to consider it, but I don't know that I do that, man, because you look at you got a quarterback on day two last year, and I know a lot has been said about Willis, but he's actually doing basically what they said. I mean, they said Willis was going to be a pure developmental player. So to expect him to, you know, have a good showing last year was going against what they said they drafted him to do, right, and to develop. So I say all that to say, I mean, you look at Hooker, you look at Will Levis. I mean, are these guys that you absolutely like better than Malik Willis? Are these guys that you would draft and bring in and, you know, compete with Willis and eventually take over for Tannehill? I don't know. I think Hooker is tremendous value there. I mean, Levis, too. I just don't know that I do that, especially knowing what you got to get at receiver. And, you know, you still got to look at the edge position. It's just a matter of how that board's going to settle out as far as, you know, horizontally the best player available versus need.
TD, what did you make of the actual pick the Titans made with Peter Skoronski at number 11?
It is the ultimate Tennessee Titans pick. It's not glamorous, but it's essential, right? And a lot of teams, you know, they tend to build from the inside out as far as the trenches are concerned, and that's what they did, man. They got a guy who, you know, I said it to Stillman yesterday, it's one of the better options for them because you plug and play at left guard. And I know, you know, it's not the glamorous thing, but it's exactly what a you know, a blue collar team like the Titans would do. Getting a guy that will be able to be a tremendous run blocker for them. I mean, look, he had his draft party at a daggone pizzeria. So, you know, he, like I said, he fits this Titans personality to a T, if you ask me.
So, Dillard, let's say left to right across the board starting opening day. We don't know that. I mean, they absolutely could draft another lineman here before this draft is over. But Dillard, Skoronski, Brewer, Brunskill, Petit-Frere. Is that your starting offensive line right now in that order with Skoronski inside, Dillard outside? And how good do you think, if so, or even if not, if you have some other combination, how good do you think, how improved do you think the Titans could be up front next season?
Yeah, I think from a pass pro perspective, now that would be the lineup, but I think from a pass pro perspective, they have improved. There's definitely drop off at center, right? I mean, we know Ben Jones is a top tier player. So losing him is going to hurt. But I think if you look across the board, you got Petit Ferrer in year two. Brunskill has been a solid player for the 49ers. And then, you know, like I said, you plug Skoronski in, and now you're, you know, improving your run blocking there. And then in addition to that, I think Dillard has potential to come in and be a solid option for them. So I like what they have in the offensive line there. That's a good start. And it is collectively an improvement, if you ask me.
So, TD, the Titans scheduled to pick as of this moment at number 41 coming up tonight. What do you think is on the table for the Titans at that point?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Jalin Hyatt if he's there. I mean, I think Joey Porter Jr. go to the Steelers at 32, but I think, like I said, Hyatt is an option. Josh Downs is an option. So those are some of the things I would look at. I mean, there's some good players available. We mentioned the quarterbacks also. Keon White, if he's there, you know, there it is. You could fill your edge position and add some depth there. So I think those are the options. I get a feel that they'll go receiver. Tyler Scott is another one that could be around for them at 41. And then at 72, you know, it's one of those positions that you didn't fill. So they have a good opportunity to add some solid players.
I mean, if they're going to mash people, why can't they got to get Darnell Washington today, don't they?
Get as big
Come
as
on.
Possible.
Yeah. You know, I forgot about the tight O lineman. You know, he's someone else. I definitely have to mention. I mean, Michael Mayer's on the board.
Yeah.
You know, and he's drawn Jason Witten comparisons. So, you know, that would be your inline guy.
All right, TD, before we let you go, I do have to get your thoughts on this. What do you make of the Philadelphia Eagles last night landing Jalen Carter at number 9 and Nolan Smith at number 30?
Ridiculous.
Listen, man, Howie Roseman, I'm telling you, like, I'm not one of those people that do it, but, you know, I'm tempted to call the cops on him, man, because he continues to steal over and over and over again. And you saw when he was on the board, they made that move. Boom, they're going to go up and get him. And I think, you know, you look at Fletcher Cox, you look at Jordan Davis there, listen, Brandon Graham is one of the best people in the NFL. So, you know, anytime you have a player with quote-unquote baggage or background or character issues, if you have a mentor like BG to, you know, help out, you know, that's going to be an awesome thing for him. And, I mean, look, he'll have three of his other teammates there because, you know, they got Nolan Smith coming off the edge. And it's funny, so many comparisons to Hassan Reddick. And now, you know, he'll be able to literally learn from Hassan Reddick. And eventually when BG moves on and Fletcher Cox, I mean, those guys are one-year deals, you know. So they're probably going to, you know, ride out to the sunset after this year, and then you have really good options to come in and take over, man. Eagles fans are very fortunate. Howie Roseman is, he did the thing, man. I give him credit.
Teron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Row. TD, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us early this morning. Enjoy the rest of the draft, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure, man. We got rounds 2 and 3 today, so let's get it.
See you over there.
Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Titans select Peter Skoronski. What do you make of that move at number 11? What do you make of Houston and Indianapolis taking quarterbacks? We'll get into all that coming up next. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers, the AAA affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. They'll take on the Storm Chasers as well on Saturday and Sunday to finish the series. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. I've got a 4-pack of tickets to give away to the Franklin Rodeo coming up on May 18th. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a family 4-pack to the Franklin Rodeo coming up on May 18th. So a wild night last night, Joe, in the NFL draft. The Titans select Peter Skoronski at number 11 overall. Richardson goes to the Colts at 4. Stroud and Anderson both going to the Texans at 2 and 3. And Will Levis sliding out of the first round last night in the NFL draft. What a day it was. And, Joe, a lot of the day yesterday with speculation that the Titans were targeting C.J. Stroud last night in the draft. And ultimately the Texans step in, and that's who they select at number 2.
I'd like to apologize to some of you who are interacting with us. The text line is going crazy, driven by WilsonCounty.com today. For some reason, some of our texts back are like not going through. Maybe it's just because it's so wild. So I need to go ahead and rant on Scott from Franklin just right here with the microphone because we've been trying to send you responses. Let me read Scott's text.
Okay.
Quote, "You don't know the Titans didn't just use Diana Russini as a tool last night. Stop talking like you're sure just because it offends you that the media would get used like that. You all been saying not to believe anything you hear for the past month, so why would yesterday be any different? I still enjoy your show, just think you're missing coverage here because of a potential bias," end quote. We both had some responses to that, which didn't get through. I want to make sure Scott hears us.
Yes.
So, first of all, you had LOL offends us. Dude, this is what happened. They wanted C.J. Stroud. It's absolutely clear. They leaked it. The Texans burned them. I don't know what would offend us. We're just calling it how we see it. I said, Scott, I understand what you're saying, but it wasn't just Diana. This is I think we need to make this clear, okay? John McClain said 100% they're not taking C.J. Stroud at 2.
Yep.
Charles Robinson came on this show and laid out the plan for them, which involved using 12 to get the quarterback. I think... Now, how would they know that the Colts weren't going to take Stroud? I don't know. But I think they thought they could get Stroud at 5 or 6. Adam Schefter's on the air screaming at people willing to bet them they're not taking Stroud at 2. Yesterday, so Diana Russini switches gears, goes from Indy to Nashville to come here. That's not happening if something big isn't happening here. She's in the building. She's been, I'd say... She has been a media person for ESPN who has broken news with the Titans, who has been around the Titans a lot, who was in the building and in places none of us were, the rest of us were last night. I mean, she came in briefly to the media room, but she, other than that, basically she and Jim White were in different places than we were. Okay, now that could have to do with like where she was broadcasting. But Diana Russini has been a pretty consistent media element here.
Yep.
No one's offended by anything. And again, I mean, I think media people are used. We asked Charles about this yesterday. If you can't add all this up and you want to add all this stuff together and just think this is just some BS smokescreen, I mean, you're welcome to do that. You're dead wrong. And so I'm trying to lay this all out for you. And frankly, you want to be very honest here, Scott, there's other stuff that I know that I got last night informationally. Is that a word?
It is now.
That helps me feel very strong in saying what I'm saying right now. Okay? The Titans wanted C.J. Stroud. They were going to move up. The Texans changed their mind for whatever reason and took him at two. That's what happened.
That's what happened.
Period.
And the Titans reacted, and they took Skoronski. And look, that's what happened. C.J. Stroud was their guy. They wanted him to be the quarterback. And they had the opportunity to take Will Levis at number 11, and they didn't do it. Now, neither did anybody else in the first round, which I did not anticipate last night of him sliding completely out of the first round. But, you know, we've talked about this for months. Like, you're not taking a quarterback just for the sake of taking a quarterback. If you love one of the quarterbacks, go up and get him and take him. Well, obviously, they didn't love Will Levis. Otherwise, they would have taken him last night at number 11. Now, you know, if he is available today in the draft, do you consider it at that point? I don't think they're going to, but I guess maybe you could.
And he may be, you know, someone may be moving up to get him well before that.
Exactly. But
maybe not. I don't know.
I have no idea. We'll see what happens on the Will Levis front today. But I'm just saying, like, I think what happened yesterday was pretty clear. I think they wanted C.J. Stroud, and the Texans took him. And then the Titans reacted and took Skoronski. And we've talked about this. Like, I like Skoronski. I'm very interested to see what position he's going to play. Is he going to be left tackle? Is he going to be left guard? I kind of think he's going to be left guard, which if you're taking a guard at number 11 overall, typically don't see that in the NFL. And if you're doing that and that's the position he's going to play, he needs to be real good. He needs to be perennial Pro Bowler at left guard if that's the way you're going to go. But like, none of this to me is like a commentary on Skoronski. I'm fine with the Skoronski pick. I hope it works out for the Titans. But you cannot convince me that Peter Skoronski was their original plan yesterday. You just won't convince me of that.
Right. Well, Peter Skoronski, you know, didn't do a visit here. It doesn't mean everything. You only have 30. But, I mean, even their pro day, they sent the O-line coach. Actually, though, I do feel like – Jake from Greenbrier may be onto something here. Okay.
What's this?
If I can get to this, back to this. Jake from Greenbrier says, as a Titans fan, what happened last night was clear. We gaslit Houston into taking Stroud, who they did not want, executed to perfection, ran and Vrabel are puppet masters. Then he says, in parentheses, this is my narrative. Welcome to the spin zone.
Well, maybe that's what you go with.
Jake, that helps you sleep at night.
Jake, some Titans fans are actually going to believe that, buddy.
Well, maybe that's what you go with. I got a text that says, do we know why Diana deleted the tweet about the Titans pulling their offer to Arizona? This is from a texter on the text line.
Hey, let me ask you this. Why would she tweet it? Because last night in the media room, there was some talk about this, and it was like, because she was told to delete it or because it was inaccurate? Why would she tweet it?
I'm going to guess that it wasn't inaccurate when she tweeted it.
Right.
That's just going to be my guess.
I'm going to guess she was told that by somebody. And then I'm going to guess she was told, please delete that by somebody.
Now, we can get into the conversation of should you delete that or should you not, if we really want to. But I'm going to doubt that she just made that up. I'm going to imagine that came from somewhere, probably inside the Titans building.
So if you're the Titans asking her to delete it, I guess that's the thing. At least it opens up the door to someone saying, well, maybe it was just inaccurate. And again, Diana Rossini, it's just like any other media person. I don't have a problem with what Diana Rossini did in any of this stuff. She's told stuff. She reports it. I mean, but if you go through the last few days from stuff from inside the Titans building, it's been stuff that's all over the place.
What do you make of the fits for Stroud in Houston and Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis, who the Titans are now going to have to deal with for the foreseeable future? Now, who knows whether or not either one of those end up being the long-term answer in both Indy or Houston respectively, but now you're looking around the rest of the division, and there's Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, C.J. Stroud in Houston, and Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis.
We know Trevor Lawrence is good.
Yes.
I'd say he's on the verge of very good. Is he very good yet?
The way he played the second half of the season last year was very good.
Could he be great? I think it's possible. But I think he's going to be very good. I think CJ, look, I think the Titans are in the end, a few years from now, are going to look back at last night and say, nah, that worked out okay. Because I don't think CJ Stroud's going to be great. I think he's going to be good. Could you do worse than good? Sure. I mean, I think he'll be a good starting quarterback for the Texans, win games, and they'll be, you know, they can be good. I have my doubts that he's going to be great. I think Bryce Young's the only guy I'm confident is going to be great, but Anthony Richardson, that's going to be the fascinating one to watch. I mean, obviously Shane Steichen now, and he's a quarterback guy and all that stuff. Richardson is going to be, and this year it's, you know, it's not going to happen. I mean, this year you're going to
see. Is he going to play this year?
No, I don't think so. It's going to be Gardner Minshew, and I think ideally he doesn't see the field. But eventually it is going to be fascinating to watch this unfold, and I could see him being great. I could see him being bad.
I would normally agree with you that he's not going to play this year, and he probably shouldn't play this year. But Jim Irsay is still the owner of the Indianapolis Colts.
We could see that happen very quickly.
That's a fair point.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL draft. The selection of Peter Skoronski last night at number 11 overall. What did you make of the quarterback movement in the draft last night as well? All that's still on the table. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
If you're Amy Adams Strunk, you should be furious.
But what if you still get, you're still able to get
Richardson?
Richardson,
but that's not the guy they liked.
But how we know?
What if they did?
They pulled the offer. So they liked Stroud. And they were going to offer it. And when Houston took Stroud, they pulled the offer for three.
I see what you're saying.
So Stroud was their guy, and you know they got the sign-off from ownership in order to do that.
I see what you're saying.
And so because it leaked out there that they liked Stroud, Houston decided to take him at two.
Because Houston knew already they were going to move up again to get Anderson.
Well, they knew you weren't.
Yeah.
Wow. They knew that you were out if they went with Stroud.
That was the draft show last night. Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders discussing the Titans, and at that time, the Texans selecting C.J. Stroud last night. Make sure you tune in tonight for NFL draft coverage on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, thenewcumberland.com, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, B&B Flooring, and the Nashville Sheriff. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, you have another text on the text line.
Sean says Skoronski clearly was their safety pick. Yes, they wanted Stroud, but how badly did they want Stroud? Did the S2 scare them off a bit? Did they want him but simultaneously not want to mortgage the future to get him? I think everything leaked from the Titans in order to force the Texans' hand. Gave the Titans a reason not to have to move up. Based on the presser, you could tell it both sucked and was relieving. Yeah, I disagree. First of all, on the S2, we've laid out their desire, all the smoke around them and the Texans that kind of give you, I think, a clear picture. I don't think their presser was some, relief presser. I mean, look, they were talking about Skoronski. They're excited about Skoronski. I think Skoronski's potentially a good pick where they got him.
Sure.
But the S2 score, let's make that clear. Titans are one of 15 teams that have access to those scores. Colts also. Texans do not. Titans know that 18 is not an accurate number for C.J. Stroud. 18 is an accurate number for his first test, in which apparently there were all these extenuating circumstances. He took it again. I don't know the number. The number is much better than that. I know that. So, no. If anything, the S2 score was the 18 was used by somebody, don't know who, by somebody, to try to get C.J. Stroud to drop.
Somebody who is one of 15 teams that have access to it in the NFL.
Right. I think they did want him badly, and they don't have him. The Texans do. So we'll see how that works out.
What do you think of Will Levis sliding out of the first round? So that's the other part of this. They did have an opportunity last night at number 11 to take a quarterback. They had Will Levis sitting there if they wanted him to take him, and they did not, and they took Peter Skoronski. And not only did they not take him, nobody else in the first round did either. So Will Levis still on the board heading into the second round today. What do you make of his slide last night where he's gone from being, in some cases, a top five pick? I think worst case scenario I saw was even yesterday, I think somebody had him in 18 was the worst case scenario that I saw.
Yeah, I think that's the lowest I've seen for Levis.
And now he's out of the first round.
Right. Yeah, Randy Reddit's going to be have a little credibility issue for a while over there. We've seen, certainly, I think every year there's somebody who slides.
Yep.
How many times have we seen players in the green room? Is it they call it? They do call it the
green
room.
They do call it the green room.
Right? For both the NBA and NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen players who then didn't go at all? I know it's happened, but I can't remember a quarterback who was projected top half of the first round who didn't go in the first round. I can't remember that happening. We know Aaron Rodgers, Brady Quinn, two famous slides, still went in the first round, both of them.
Yeah, I don't think it's happened. Right? If it is, I'm just blanking on it. But I thought for sure somebody would get him at the back part of the first round last night. Like even when he slid past, you know, 20 was like the breaking point, right? So, like,
yeah.
Seattle came up, and I was like, Seattle, could they take him here at 20? And when they didn't take him, I thought somebody's going to trade up at like 28 or 29 and go get him. So they've got the quarterback, and they got him on the fifth-year option. I was honestly kind of stunned that didn't happen.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because Levis, yeah, has been my number five of these five quarterbacks all along. I wouldn't have given up a lot to get him. I thought the Titans liked him. But, you know, Dane Brugger kind of talked me into, you know, let's keep in mind the injuries, the toughness he showed playing through the injuries. And we've all talked about the offensive line, how bad it was. The OC switch. I mean, Liam Cohen's really good. He had a really good year with Lane. It's not like he's never played any good college football. But this is, you know, go back to Rodgers and Brady Quinn, 04 and 07?
Correct. No, 05 and 07.
05 and 07. You know, draft coverage then was basically Mel Kiper and some other people on the internet and stuff. It's so much more fleshed out now. Such, I mean, at The Athletic, we have some people who, you know, it's just all they do is they cover the NFL draft year, not just Brugler. You know, my buddy Nick Baumgartner was a columnist in Michigan. He switched. He's just a draft writer. We have like three of them.
It's a year-long thing. I've already seen mock drafts for 2024.
Right. I mean, so what that means is more people talking to executives, more people watching the film, just more. Like, I think it's hilarious that ESPN actually said the analytics said that Levis. Yeah. I mean, that's like, what? The analytics? It's all guesswork. But the guesswork is a lot more informed now. And so I think it's one of the most shocking results in recent draft history that Levis didn't go in the first round.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we didn't see one mock draft with him not, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't see one mock draft with him not in the first round.
No. And we make fun of mock drafts. But again, a lot of mock drafts are just people. I mean, when I do a couple of Titans mock drafts, I'm guessing, you know, here's what, you know, and a lot of them are that, but there are mock drafts that are very reported too.
Sure.
And it's going to be interesting. Someone asked if he's going to go today. I think so.
I mean, I would be.
I'm pretty sure.
Stunned. Well, first off, there's two rounds today. So,
yeah.
Second and third. If he doesn't go in the second round, I will be stunned.
I mean, there's something we don't know then.
Exactly. Geno Smith, the texture says, showed up and fell to the second round. So there you go. I don't remember that, but I will believe you.
Yeah, I can see
it. Yeah, that happened.
Willis was in the green room last year. Is that right? Malik Willis was in the green room?
Honestly, I don't
know. Okay, apparently it happens all the time. Well, wrong about something else.
Was he really?
I don't remember that, but I could believe it. And that last year was weird, though, because there were people who had a lot of those guys like, these guys are bad. They're not going high. Right. And I think a lot of the conventional wisdom was, yeah, but it's quarterbacks of the NFL. Like, they always go high. And then it turns out all the talk of it being bad was right. This year, yeah, there's some people who were down on Levis and were like, no, he shouldn't go top five. He's not that good. But no one was like, no, he's going to go in like the third round.
So why did he slide? That's what I keep going back to. Like, why did he slide out of the first round? There was the toe injury stuff that Chris Mortensen came out with last night in the middle of draft of, you know, maybe he has to have surgery on it. We'll see what all that shakes out to. We've talked about the reporting around the Will Levis interviews, and we talked about that, you know, a few weeks ago when we saw it of, it doesn't sound like Will Levis's interviews are going overly well with some of these NFL teams. You know, was that real? Was that smoke? Well, now he's out of the first round. And then there's, you know, kind of what I've been saying all along, which is I don't think he's that good. Now, I'm obviously not an NFL talent evaluator either. So when you factor in all that stuff together, why do we think he has slid out of the first round and that it's gone to this degree with Will Levis?
Well, I think there's another case. So much stuff comes out during draft time. And this is why I asked Charles to give me a percentage. I think the percentage is actually way more in the favor of information than misinformation. Of course there's misinformation. But, like, people aren't out there. Reporters who cover this over a long period of time, Charles told us about getting burned on Darrell Revis, right? That goes way back. If you're an experienced reporter dealing with these people, like, you've got to have credibility both ways. And all of which is to say, I think the interview stuff we heard about Levis was real. It has to be. I don't think the toe, you don't want him to play next year anyway. Like, someone called Shot Gunner says, you know, Rams come up again. I could see that.
Sure.
I mean, Liam Cohen knows him really well, so he has maybe a different perspective on him. I mean, the toe is not a non-starter. You get hit surgery. You're not going to play next year anyway. But the interviews have to have hurt him, right?
What did he do in those interviews?
I don't know. I mean, look, I get it. There are interviews that go poorly sometimes. But, like, if you think that he is – we've talked about the physical traits that he possesses. Like, if you think that there's a chance he could be a great NFL quarterback, like, how bad would the interview have to be?
Well, except, you know what? It is the most important position. It is. This is the face of the franchise. This is the guy who's leading my whole locker room. So I don't think he has to just be, again, someone gave the example of like the Step Brothers job interview.
Yeah.
By the way, have you seen Step Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know the job interview I'm talking about. Anybody who doesn't,
then I can see it.
I feel bad for. Yeah. Like I don't think it has to be something that dramatic. If he just doesn't come off as someone, you're like, first of all, like you said, he throws those picks. There's some questions about him, decision making. Does he make decisions quickly enough? Can he be accurate enough? Also, is he leading our team? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have to be dramatic, like, oh my God, what a turd, you know?
Right.
It can just be, I just don't have a good feeling about him leading our team. I mean, I think all the intangibles and all that stuff is more magnified now, too.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in John. John, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I watched last night, and they had Mr. Levis and Herndon together going, well, you know, this may be time, but now is it a race between Hendon with his injuries and Levis with his injuries? Who has a better chance of going first? And out of the first picks, where do you think he could end up going? I appreciate y'all.
Yep. Thanks for the call, John. So, I guess I would still say that Levis is going to go before Hooker today. I mean, I would guess that to be the case. But I don't know. I mean, it's fascinating that we're having this discussion heading into the second round. I'll say Levis goes before. Like, my gut tells me that it's not going to be that long before Levis goes today. Like, either the Rams will take him or somebody will move up early in the second round here and go get him. But it's wild that we're talking about this. I'll go Levis, but Hooker, I'm interested to see where he goes today.
Yeah, and of course Hooker had a party in his hometown. He had big Joe Milton sitting there on the couch, ready to be called next year. Josh Heupel there, so like, he was certainly hoping to go last night. And I think they're both going to go in the second round. I'm with you. If I had to bet right now, I'd go with Levis going before Hooker. I mean, I am the guy who mock drafted, you know, the Titans moving up to get Will Levis.
You did.
So, yeah.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the NFL draft. We'll continue the discussion on round one and look ahead to rounds two and three for the Titans coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Bite a Bit in the heart of East Nashville. You can get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Bite a Bit features all the best Thai food, sushi, and cocktails that you will love. You can check them out at biteabitthaisushi.com. Robbie and Rex Road streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. First off, thank you to all of you for your participation today. It's been a wild day on the text line,
I can
on
do
the YouTube
three more
chat.
Hours.
We could do a whole lot more of
you
the
guys
show
can,
today.
You guys can stay on. I'll take my weekend.
Yeah. We'll just keep going. Thanks for your participation. We've had a lot of people weighing in today, so appreciate that. Appreciate the thoughts that you're bringing to the table, and looking forward to more of them coming up on Monday as well. Joe, the Titans at 41 overall. Scheduled to pick right now, and then at 72 later tonight as well. So the second and third round taking place tonight. What are we looking at here from a Titans perspective? You've gotten the offensive linemen, lots of intriguing names still on the table at multiple different positions. What do you think we're looking at today from the Titans standpoint as we look ahead to the second round?
Receiver, 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 tight end.
Darnell Washington.
I like the Darnell Washington idea. My goodness. But certainly you could have, going with the big board, you could see a corner today. Going with the big board, you could see an edge today. I wouldn't rule out an offensive lineman. I have to think one of the two picks is a wide receiver, right?
So it's got to be. It's got
to
be.
Like, sometimes need just need has to be a flashing neon sign. Need, need, need. I mean, if one of the two picks today is not a wide receiver,
I was going to say, like, I'll punch Buck in the face in the media room tonight, but yeah, he's too skinny now. I'll do the mayo and the coffee thing, okay?
Will you really?
No, yeah. Joe.
That's fine. I'm fine. They're going to pick a receiver. They're going to pick a receiver today, right?
I did throw up when I got home.
What?
Seriously. It was so bad. Don't even say that on air.
I'm fine. That's how confident I am that they're going to take a receiver. I'll do the mayo and the coffee thing. No? That will happen.
I feel like I warned you.
Now, it's going to happen now.
If they draft two receivers, then Robbie has to do the coffee.
Yeah. Okay. Whoa.
No, but one of them is going to be a receiver. And I would absolutely be in favor of two people who are catching passes from Ryan Tannehill next season.
Yeah. And, you know, if one of them's a tight end, so be it. Michael Mayer still on the board. Darnell Washington is still on the board. But I agree. Like, wide receiver, you got to do it today. I mean, whether it's second round, third round, you know, obviously Tillman and Hyatt are still on the board. You know, we've talked about Jonathan Mingo. They had a visit with Tank Dell. It was like, does he intrigue them as well? Like, there's a bunch of different routes that you could go at wide receiver. But I would be stunned tonight if in some form or fashion they're not leaving with at least one wide receiver.
Yeah. Again, I continue to say I like Cedric Tillman a lot. I really do. I think you could look at the first round, see Darnell Wright go higher than projected, but see no Hyatt, see no Hooker, and say some of the Tennessee offense stuff maybe, you know, still causing skepticism. You know, I don't know. I think Hyatt has the speed to absolutely make big plays in this league. I don't know that he's well-rounded enough. I think Tillman is, and Tillman's fast enough. Tillman ran a 4.5. I mean, that's fine. But if Vrabel talked about speed, how much of that is – you know, a priority. I mean, Trey Palmer from Nebraska, fastest guy in the draft. I think I mocked him to them in like the third.
Yep.
So there are tons of options at receiver right now.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in AB. AB, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
Big Titans fan. Darnell Washington or Tillman should be the pick. No matter what, in the second or third round, like, we need to come out with those two players. Yep. What do you think about that?
Hey, thanks for the call, AB. So, I mean, look, if you told me
Cedric
right
Tillman
now,
would be blocking too.
I mean, if you told me right now that they came out of there with Tillman and Washington, I'd take it.
I'd
sign up for it.
So Skoronski, Tillman, Washington. I don't know how many games they're going to win. They're going to smash some people.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like go back to when they had Jonnu Smith and A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, and, you know, lots of speed and all that too, but also tackle this.
Now, I kind of have my doubts if they stay at 41 and 72 and they don't move, that they'll be able to get both those guys. Like,
agree.
The run on wide receivers kind of started last night, and now I think you're going to see it go early in the second round. So, like, Tillman could be gone. Tillman could be gone by the time they pick at 41. Now, I'd probably be surprised by that.
I think Tillman could drop to the third, but I think high third, I think.
Yeah. So I'd be surprised if both are available at 72. The Washington part of this, I mean, I know they have Chig, so I know they have their quote-unquote receiving tight end. But Washington, number one, the size that he has, I mean, I think he'd be a heck of a blocking tight end. But number two, think about him in the red zone. Like, you could do some things with Darnell Washington in the red zone. I have no doubt.
Right, like you already. That's one of the things that they started to figure out last year. To credit of Todd Downing and them, that the Chig in the red zone started to become a real presence. Yeah. How about both of them? How about having two young, promising tight ends? And you know, Chig's got to improve as a blocker.
Yep.
Darnell is coming in here ready, I think, to be an inline presence.
Yep. Well, and remember? I mean, the top 30 visits don't mean everything, obviously, as we saw last night with them taking Skoronski, who did not have a top 30 visit with the Titans. But, I mean, they've hosted Keon White, edge rusher out of Georgia Tech. I mean, could that be an option by the time 41 rolls around? I know that's probably not what everybody wants to see. You probably want to see a wide receiver, but we've talked about it. You can never have enough quality edge rushers in this league.
Like, if they went edge receiver today, I think that makes sense, too. You know, you've got, I mean, Key, I think, is a nice pickup. And you got Landry coming off an ACL. And you got Weaver. And you need some, you know, you need some depth. And, you know, there's a lot of guys. I mean, look at a guy like Zach Harrison. Talk about Buckeyes.
Yep.
Derek Hall from Auburn. There's a lot of interesting edge guys right now on the board.
Make sure you tune in tonight for our draft coverage here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game as the second and third rounds get underway. Going to be a fascinating night. Will Levis still on the board and Hooker still on the board and the Titans picking at 41 tonight. Looking forward to it. Joe, have a good weekend, and we'll have a lot to talk about on Monday.
Yes, we will. We need more show.
We do.
We'll you guys can Monday. Stay on, like I said.
Thank you very much.
You're in. You're in.
That does it for us today. Chase and Michelle up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.